Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday. That'll be August 8th, 2018. And with me today, Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm here.
That's better than the majority of all humans that have ever existed, because most of them are gone.
Good morning, Kelly.
Hi, John.
Yes.
All right.
And it is a pleasure to be here.
It's always great to have you, seriously. We kind of need to just jump right in because I know how things go when we all get talking. So here's the deal. We need to take a look at this whole Alex Jones and InfoWars thing because we haven't talked about it yet. So what happened was as complaints were mounting and there were these different calls throughout the public for Apple and YouTube and Facebook and Spotify and Twitter and just all the different platforms where someone can get content out. There were these calls for all these platforms to drop Alex Jones podcasts because they were citing hate speech and enticing people to harass and threaten other people. Mm-hmm. And so come Monday, so that would have been 2 days ago, Apple removed the InfoWars podcasts from the iTunes store listings. So the podcast still exists because all the iTunes store does is link back to where the shows are.
Right.
So Apple's just
It's just an aggregator. It's not exactly the actual source of any of the information.
Exactly. So the InfoWars podcasts, except for one that doesn't involve Alex Jones, they're all gone from the listings. Facebook and Spotify and YouTube, they all later in the day did the same thing. So, or in the case of YouTube, they just blocked his content. Mm-hmm. And so that left Twitter, and Twitter is saying, look, he's not violating our terms of service. So,
yeah,
I know. It's that we could do hours and hours of shows just on Twitter and their various policies and how things seem so fluid. But anyhow, that brings us up to today, where I decided to go and look on the App Store on my iPhone and just see what was there when I searched on InfoWars. Turns out Alex Jones' InfoWars app, which streams the same content that has been delisted from the iTunes store, you can get that app on the App Store today, which struck me as odd. So,
is that because the terms of service are different for the podcast network and the App Store?
Uh-huh. And I went and looked to see.
Because it's just the app itself. As long as the app isn't violating and all it's doing is bringing you the podcast or something, then it doesn't matter. It's the same reason, like, Overcast isn't being pulled because you could play an InfoWars podcast through the Overcast app, correct?
Right.
Well, kind of. But the thing is, the app, the way Apple wrote their guidelines for the App Store, so totally different from the guidelines for the iTunes Store, there's literally nothing in there about hate speech, inciting violence, anything like that. What there is, what I need to do is go and find my article so I can read the quote to you that comes straight from the guidelines. So here's what Apple says. Let's see. We will reject apps for any content or behavior that we believe is over the line. What line, you ask? Well, a Supreme Court justice once said, I'll know it when I see it.
When I see it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that you will also know it when you cross it. So that's the closest that I've been able to come to finding anything that could be just linked to hate speech, and and you know, it's really vague. So, yeah, I think the reason that the app is still on the App Store is because Apple's guidelines aren't explicitly prohibiting it. Mm-hmm. And so that brings us up to right now. And I'm wondering, what do you guys think about this? I mean, should Apple be banning the or removing the InfoWars app from the App Store because they pulled the podcasts?
Well, I'm sorry, you weren't done with your question.
No, I've never heard you guys just sit silent before. It well, kind of freaked me out.
There are two questions here, and this is the reason that this is frustrating, I think, for a lot of people that I know who have been trying to have a conversation about this, and they are as follows. This is not a free speech issue, because this has nothing to do with the government. This doesn't say that the Secret Service is going to kick down his door. This has no bearing on whether or not the United States government is going to disappear Alex Jones or make the InfoWars site evaporate, number one. So so the people howling about the First Amendment need to be quiet, because that's not what this is. Apple can do whatever they want. Apple is well within its rights to do whatever they want to do. And the reason that I personally find this a very interesting debate to watch happen is because if you go to the InfoWars website and look at the terms of service for the InfoWars website, it says, and I quote, "We may review and delete any content you post on the website or elsewhere utilizing our services or system if we determine in our sole discretion that the content violates the rights of others or is not appropriate for the website. If you violate these rules, your posts or username will be deleted. You are a guest. It is not censorship if you violate the rules and your post is deleted. All civilizations have rules, and if you violate them, you can expect to be ostracized from the tribe." Unquote.
I saw that.
So they are trapped by a rule that they themselves have on their own website because Apple has said the same thing about the podcast. And like you said, that doesn't mean the podcasts went away. Apple's just not listing them. Same as Spotify. When people were mad about Spotify, Spotify didn't make them disappear. Spotify made it so they weren't as easily available. Spotify did not delete the files themselves. So part of the problem I have with this conversation is anytime a company does something that people don't like, they start howling about the First Amendment. And that's not what's happening here.
You are correct, Kelly. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. Now, so, the way the First Amendment could apply in this situation, and to be clear, I'm not saying this happened. I'm just saying this is the only way I can see First Amendment would apply. If the United States government went to Apple and ordered them to remove the show from the iTunes listings, now it becomes a First Amendment violation because
the government was involved.
Because the government said, hey, you have to do this.
Correct.
But Apple,
if that were the case, Apple would have come out and said, administration made us do this. They would have said it. Just like, I mean, we've seen them tangle with the government before, and they were very transparent about it. The FBI says this is what we need to do. We respectfully disagree. You know, we've seen it. So we know what that looks like when it comes from Apple. To me, the most interesting facet of this conversation is that people have been complaining or pointing out that Alex Jones has been in clear violation of terms of service at YouTube for ages and never getting a strike. And people were complaining about Facebook because Facebook can't continue to let Alex Jones post the things that he posts that are knowingly false and provably false and as though they are news, and then say that they are doing things to help make sure that discourse is civil and that fake things aren't posted and that things that aren't news aren't showing up as news. And it took Apple standing up and taking down the podcast, not everything from InfoWars, because it's not even all of the InfoWars podcasts.
Right.
And the app is still available. Mm-hmm. But Apple made a move and from everything that I've been able to read about this, it sounds like as soon as, and you know, of course, we don't know how high these decisions go, but as soon as Facebook and YouTube found out about Apple doing it, then they did it too.
Now, considering,
I read that Eddie Q and Tim Cook had a meeting over the weekend and discussed it. I don't know the veracity of that story, but that's what I read.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if high-level people at Apple
were
involved in this discussion. Now,
it wouldn't surprise me in the least, but I can't say for certain, you know, Tim Cook made a decision as soon as Mark Zuckerberg heard about it, then he decided to do the same thing. I can't say that, but what I can say is that I have read a number of things that said when Facebook heard that Apple had done this, Facebook took action. When YouTube heard that Apple had done this, YouTube took action. That's what I've seen.
All right. Now, Apple took action, and they
yay for Apple.
They didn't get rid of the podcast. They stopped listing them in iTunes. So that crossed a line for Apple with their guidelines. And so before we move on, the question I have for you guys is, if these podcasts cross the line for the iTunes store, doesn't it seem like the same content in the InfoWars app would cross the line on the App Store too?
I think so, because it's the same content. And how is that same content only sort of okay? I think I presume that would be the case. Like, you have to measure everything by the same yardstick in this particular instance, I feel like. But additionally to this, what I wonder is if we've delisted the podcast from the podcast index was a canary in a coal mine.
Yeah.
And we're going to see what happens. We're going to see what kind of, there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into all of this particular type of conversation right now, and what people can say and can't say, and what they should and shouldn't say, and what they have ever said at any point in their life ever. And a lot of it gets conflated with First Amendment speech. And this has absolutely nothing to do with First Amendment speech, because even if the app is not available in the App Store, you can still go to Infowars.com on your iPhone, and you can watch a video or you can play an audio file from the website on your phone, and that's completely fine. Mm-hmm. And it all just works. Yep. Just like literally any other website. And so I have a lot of feelings about this. I have a long history with investigating censorship and understanding censorship and what exactly is a violation of your First Amendment rights, as opposed to a company did something to somebody and I do not agree with it, because, you know, this has happened on both sides of the political spectrum, let's say, and it tends to be the same sort of conversation every time, which is that this is a First Amendment issue and you are violating this person's constitutional rights. And in most cases, that is not true. And no, it doesn't matter that Apple is a company in which you can buy stock.
Kelly, let me answer Jeff's question for a second. You said that the content was the same. So I immediately started thinking about an old fashioned analogy of an obscene CD. The point of the CD was to play music, and the point of the music was to be obscene. And some merchant decides he doesn't want it on his shelves. So then somebody says, well, you can't sell CD players either, because somebody might play obscene material on the player. And he says, no, the player, the customer can put anything on the player they want. Mm-hmm. So when you have an app that can do various things, that's different than the whole point of a podcast being specifically pointed towards something that is questionable. So there may, in my mind, it raises the issue about the distinction between the app and the podcast itself. So even though the content being delivered is the same, I think there's a subtle difference.
Okay, listeners, I'm really curious what you think about this. So let me know. You can send me messages on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can send me emails, observations@MacObserver.com. And of course, you can leave comments in the show notes and let me know what you think. But be nice, because this is a very touchy subject, and there are a lot of triggers and hot buttons in here for a lot of people. So let's all just be cool about this, but let me know what you think. And okay. So how about if we talk about something that is maybe not so much of a hot button, but is really cool, at least in my opinion. Apple has just signed a deal to turn Min-Jin Lee's best-selling book, Pachinko, mm-hmm. depending on where you're from. That's going to be a new TV series. And Hollywood Reporter, they're saying that Apple signed a sizable script to series commitment. So that tells me this is more than just a mini series. They're taking this book and turning it into like probably a multi-year series. And it's a book about several generations of a Korean family that immigrate to the United States and what their lives are like. And it's, I haven't read the book, but the people I know that have said, holy crap, this is amazing. So that's really cool. What I like about this is that, to me, this is another example of Apple taking a different approach than the traditional, I'll call it Hollywood approach to, mm-hmm. to entertainment. And they're going for a much more diverse thing. Not only the types of shows that they're getting, but the people that are involved. And I love that this isn't just the old white guys' television. Mm-hmm. We have women involved in a lot of the shows. Some of the shows revolve specifically around women as the primary characters. Mm-hmm. And then we have content like this where it's women involved all the way through, and you're looking at something that that steps outside the white guy demographic as well. Mm-hmm. And there you go. I will step down off my happy soapbox and let you guys tell me what you think.
I'm thinking I'm going to like these shows because they show a real considered effort towards taste and, as you said, diversity. Excuse me.
We have John all choked up. It's so sweet.
Sorry. Kelly, go ahead. I'm going to clear my throat.
Okay. I'm interested because I feel like in some instances, the shows that are being made are shows that would not get an opportunity if it weren't for Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that is very interesting. You know, it's the same sort of thing that we saw initially when Netflix and the other one, Amazon Prime Video, started dipping a toe into their own content. We started seeing a lot of interesting stuff along the lines of things that wouldn't really get made otherwise. And that was some of the stuff that I thought was the most interesting stuff. Like, I don't know who else could have done a decent job of The Man in the High Castle, for example.
True. Or how about Sense8 on Netflix?
Yes, or Sense8. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is one that I really enjoyed, was a great little show that, you know, that a network would have wanted to do something very different with. And I think that the approach that the streaming services are taking, which is, you know, we're going to put together a season and then you get your season and that's that. If we feel there's enough story in there, you'll get another, which is the model I have loved for many, many years, because it's basically the model of British television, mm-hmm. where syndication isn't a thing you have to worry about. Other, like, the content there is not subsidized by advertising, so the fundamental approach to telling a story on television in the UK and in Europe is very different than what it is here. So that's part of what I have enjoyed about the British TV that I've watched that John and I have talked about in other places on TMO Network. Because when you don't have to come in and do 25 episodes, you can do 12 tight episodes where stuff happens all the time. Everything moves along and you're not trying to hit some mythical number because you got to get to syndication or because somebody determined that the TV season goes this long. And, you know, maybe it's not even 12. Sometimes it's 6 or 8 episodes of concentrated television, and that's what you get, and that's all it is, and then you're done. And that's fantastic.
One of the things that I see on the new Netflix original content series is I read the little one-sentence description, and they're depressing. I go, is this going to be a lot of fun? Is this going to be like Star Trek Discovery? Is this going to be like really cool and fun and enjoyable? And then you read the description, and it's some awful thing, and you go, no, I think I'll pass. I think I'll move on to something more exciting, more fun, more agreeable, less dramatic, less depressing.
Well, based on what we're seeing from Apple right now, and granted, there's not a single show that has been released yet. It's sounding like Apple's television content is going to be more to your liking, John.
Yes, I'm feeling that. And this new one, Min Jin Lee's Pachinko, looks like a winner. So congrats to Apple again.
Yeah, I'm every time a new show gets announced for Apple's lineup, I get more excited about what they're doing. And I'm feeling like when they start airing their content, that this isn't going to be a thing where Apple has to ramp up over years to be able to hold their own with Netflix and Amazon Prime. I think they're coming out with guns blazing, and they will be a serious content provider in year one. And I think that's just amazing.
I hope they don't roll it all out at once, because there's not enough hours in a week to watch all this material.
Yeah. Well, my guess is that because of production schedules and not wanting to overload us with content and stuff get lost along the way, shows are going to roll out over time, and they're not going to all launch at the same time.
I hope so.
So my guess is that they'll start with like 2 or 3, and then they'll just keep adding in more shows as
the two or three best that they can handle, so that they get a really good reputation and we get all psyched up. And then if there's always one in the crowd that is not the very, very, very best, save that one until later and kind of blend it in.
Well, and they may do content deals where they get, you know, an entire run of some old series or something to help bolster, you know, the content in that library. And, you know, the other thing that I think of about this when we talk about the streaming and the video content coming and all of that is that by and large, Apple's not the first to whatever market segment we're talking about. They weren't the first to make a smartphone. They weren't the first to make a tablet. They weren't the first to make wireless headphones. You know, they weren't the first to make a lot of things, you know, an MP3 player. And they still, you know, just because they weren't first doesn't mean they didn't come out with something compelling, something interesting, something that people really liked. And I think that the streaming content stuff that we've seen so far, like just on paper, what we know about who's involved and the kind of content that we've seen announcements about, I think this is going to be exactly the same thing. Like, it's fine that they weren't first, because look what we're going to get when they finally get here.
I'm going to rub this in on Brian Chaffin, because when we first started hearing about these series, you may recall that Brian said that Apple was going to be no holds barred, that it was going to be the same kind of content we see everywhere else. And I'm going to be going, no, Apple as a company is going to be judged by the values that are displayed in these shows. And if the values in these shows are corrupt, Apple's going to take a hit. And I think I'm going to be proven right.
I think you're going to be proven right as well. So I'm looking forward to when we get to record the show where you get to rub it in Brian's face.
Yeah. Feel free to grow. Maybe he can buy me a lunch for a change.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Kelly, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me also.
It's great to have both of you on. And listeners, thank you so much for being here today. Every one of you rocks. We'll see you again tomorrow.